Thank you, Katie. Thank you. Celebrating today, I hope we celebrate what heaven celebrates. That we celebrate what heaven celebrates. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15. And I want you to notice something about what God celebrates, what heaven celebrates on this celebration Sunday. And I know that Todd alluded today. I had to step out because I had an incident with my nose, and so I didn't get to hear it all. But this when you talked about the prodigal, and that prodigal story is one of three stories that makes the point of what God celebrates. And I want you to notice in chapter 15, we're just going to look at these briefly, one of them briefly, but I want you to notice there's the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. And what is the point? Well, the point is that in chapter 15, verse 1, all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to him to listen to him. This is Jesus. And both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Now, I want to say, do you know what a sinner is? Okay. Because I know that some of us in here would say, we're sinners saved by grace, right? But I want to tell you what he means when he says sinners. The tax gatherers and the sinners. The word sinner means that someone who is devoted to sin, not free from sin, and is preeminently sinful. Sinners are people not devoted to God. They lead self-directed lives. And Jesus likens sinners as lost. Sinners are lost, lost are sinners. When you came to Christ, God no longer identified you as a sinner. He identified you as a saint. Amen? But somehow we just can't get over the fact, we just can't get over the thought that we are still identifying as sinners, even though I know the heart of many of you, the heart that says, I am not devoted to sin. I am not devoted to the strongholds. I am not preeminently sinful. Yeah, we sin. But God no longer calls you sinners. He calls you saints. Isn't it interesting that God doesn't say to the sinners of Philippi? No, he says to the saints of Philippi. Sinners once, saints now. Flawed, yes. Still sometimes moving in directions we don't need to move. But I'm just going to tell you, if you're a saint, that's only temporary. Because we are a people devoted to the glory and the honor of God. And that's who we are, and that's what we believe. You are not identified by God as a sinner, but a saint of God. And you ought to celebrate that. And you ought to celebrate that by getting that word sinner out of your language and out of your mouth. Because you are the saint of God. And I'm a New Orleans Saint fan. Amen. So we're saints. And it's a wonderful thought because what you have is the religious, you have those that are not saved by grace, but are working everything they can for holiness and salvation, and they are jealous that Jesus, or they are offended that Jesus would receive sinners and eat with them. And so he tells them this parable. He says, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, them does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Heaven rejoices when people come to Jesus and have their character change, they have their lives change, so that they're no longer identified as they once were, but now they're identified in the fold of God, saved by the grace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid that we don't know how to rejoice like heaven rejoices. And I realize this, I believe this with all my heart. It's the reason why a lot of people in the church don't rejoice like heaven. It's because they've yet to truly be a part of someone being converted unto God. Because I want to tell you, there's nothing like being a part of seeing someone converted to God. We share in the joy of heaven. You want to talk about celebration? Celebration when one sinner becomes a saint. When one lost sheep is found again. And I love the play of this, because right now, when you think of a lost coin or a lost sheep, and then later it's the lost coin and then the lost son, the lost sheep belonged to somebody. The coin belonged to somebody. The son belonged to the father who got lost. And so when we look at this parable, we see two things going. We see sinners saved and people who have lost their way who are saved, getting back into the fold, getting back into the purse, getting back into family relationship with the father. And you may be here today, and you may not know Christ. You may never have received him into your life. You may be lost, just like he's talking about. But let me just tell you, today you can find life through Jesus Christ. Heaven celebrates when lost sheep are found, but heaven celebrates when sinners are converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, something that Katie said about her work and some of the things that they do, one of the things she said, you said something about gospel conversations. I hear that a lot from Clayton in the BSM. How many gospel conversations are you wanting to see happen this semester? 500 gospel presentations or conversations. 500 conversations for this semester. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time you had a gospel conversation with a sinner? When's the last time? When's the last time that you had a gospel conversation with someone who was lost, someone who was not born again, but you had that conversation with them? When's the last time? When's the last time that you sat down with someone over coffee, or over lunch, or over dinner, and you talked and had a good news conversation? It's the last time. And I'm not here to throw guilt on any of us today, because I think what happens is, as we come to Christ and we gather together with Christians, and then the people that we gather with and hang with, they're no longer lost. And so you're not with sinners. You're not with tax gatherers. That's one reason. Another reason is that you've never been taught to have a gospel conversation with somebody. So this is what I'm going to propose. I didn't think about this beforehand. I'm thinking it up as I go, okay? It's just how God wired me. But I feel prompted by the Spirit of God. If you want to know how to have a gospel conversation with somebody, I want to meet with you. Jeanette wants to meet with you. Is that right? Can I be, even though I'm just making this up right now? Yeah. Jeanette would. Chance would. Scott would. Craig, would you? Would you want to do that? Yeah. Bentleys, would you? Yeah, you would want to have, you would want to, they would want to teach you. Clayton, is it just for college kids? No, it's for the church. And so I'm asking this question of you, if this is prompting you, if this is something that God's doing in your life, because, you know, we talk about cross-cultural, but what about right now, right here in our Jerusalem? And I want to ask the question, what if over the next few weeks and months that you contacted me and we taught you to have a gospel conversation, and not only that, we invited you as we have a gospel conversation so that you can watch, and then in a few weeks, 200 adults and youth have a gospel conversation with somebody in their life. I'm going to tell you, 200 would mean that there would be, I believe, at least one sinner converted, where all of heaven is celebrating because that one person came to Jesus and is no longer a sinner, but now a saint of God because you had a gospel conversation with that person. I want to tell you this. I don't know about you, but as I preach this, as I speak this, as it's not even in my notes right now, I mean, I just tell you, there's something that just builds up in my soul. Because I want to tell you, you pass by, even in Erath County, hundreds of sinners every day. And we're oblivious. Oblivious to that. So that's my invitation. You contact me. I want to learn how to have a gospel conversation. I want to learn. I want to see you do that. I would take you. Jeanette would take you on a gospel conversation. And I just think that when we get to this place that we are walking in this and we're sharing faith and we're giving testimony of God's greatness and what he does, then all of a sudden we join in with heaven as heaven celebrates sinner salvation. Or then heaven celebrates when lost are found. Because ultimately you'll have a gospel conversation with somebody who will say, oh, I know that story. When I was 10 years old, I did that story, but now I've wandered from the sheepfold. I've somehow fell out of the purse and I'm a lost coin. Or I've squandered my estate with loose living like this prodigal. And I need to be found. Because that's what heaven rejoices over. And we joining into heaven's joy over folks coming. Listen, heaven celebrates sinner salvation. Heaven celebrates when lost are found. Heaven celebrates God and his salvation. Now, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 7, if you would. Revelation chapter 7. We have a Thursday morning Bible study at Brooks Real Estate, and we're in the middle of Revelation, and we did Revelation 7 this week. And you're invited, guys, you're invited to that. It's 7 o'clock every Thursday morning. We've gone through Genesis, we've done Exodus, we've done 1 and 2 Samuel, we've done Nehemiah, we've done Acts, all the way now to Revelation. We're going to start Matthew here in a few months. But we're in Revelation 7. And it dawned on me as we were reading this, no matter what persuasion you have of Revelation, whether you're pre this or post this or this or whatever you are, there's something in this passage of Scripture that I mean, it speaks to every one of us, and it speaks to me to how heaven celebrates God and his salvation. And so in chapter 7, there's this movement of 144,000 people who are coming to Christ. The Bible calls them being sealed by God. Listen, when you came to Christ, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, by the Holy Spirit of God. And somehow these 144,000, whoever they are, whatever they do, and whatever they will be, they're sealed. And the Bible will say from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. The tribe of Gad. And then it goes on to verse 8 and names the 12 tribes of Jerusalem. But look at verse 9. After these things. Now, it's real interesting because the word after can also mean with. Now, most translators say this is after, but if you do a study of this word, this New Testament word, about 350 times in the translation, it is with. And that's just a suggestion. I mean, I'm not saying to change that or anything, but I'm just saying it could be translated with. Watch. With these things happening, with 144,000 people coming to Jesus, 144,000 sealed, 144,000 lost sheep, lost sons and daughters, 144,000 sinners who are now converted to God and sealed. With these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, all the tribes, all the peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches with their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And the angels, they're standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, and they said, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." And here's the suggestion. 145,000 men, women are being sealed by God and saved, and there's a worship service in heaven going on with all the saved. And it's not Jews, it's Gentiles. It's people like you and me from every tribe, every tongue, every nation saying, "Salvation to our great God." And the angels say, "Amen, people, amen." So you've got folks being saved, you've got Lamb on the throne, you've got folks who are saved in heaven, and they're rejoicing, and they're saying, "Salvation to God. We're rejoicing in this great God." And the angels are saying, "Yeah, you're right. To Him be the honor, to Him be the glory, to Him be the might." And that's how you and I join heaven in worshiping and celebrating what God celebrates. When's the last time you had a gospel conversation where they came to Christ and you knew that heaven was rejoicing? Because heaven rejoices with God and His great salvation. Heaven celebrates sinners' salvation. He celebrates when lost are found. He celebrates God. Heaven celebrates God and His salvation, but heaven also celebrates the church. Go to Revelation chapter 5, just real briefly. I'm going to say this, and we're going to close with this in just a second, but I want to say that this is the passage of Scripture that I read from the pulpit over there on January 10th, 1999, when our friend Mike Stroup came. This is before we did one thing cross-culturally missional overseas. We were happy enough just to give our money to let somebody else do it. But somehow, from November of 98 to this day on the January 10th, the second Sunday in January of 1999, somehow God put on my heart and a couple of others that there was an unreached people group out there that had never heard of Jesus, that had our name on it. As I read this passage of Scripture, and as I read it today, fresh and new, I'm seeing heaven rejoicing in Christ, but also what Christ does with His church. Notice verse 6. "And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out to all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense." Watch this. "Which are the prayers of the saints." They're not the prayers of the sinners. They're the prayers of the saints. What I love about this passage is just how God uses you and me, as He uses the folks in our church, as He uses us for the glory of God, and as He uses prayer. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at this. This golden bowl, they're golden bowls, and they're filled with your prayers. With your requests, with what you're beseeching God to do. And they sang a new song. Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. You were slain and purchased for God with your blood. Men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made them to be, watch, a kingdom of priests to our God. And they will reign upon the earth. Last week we spoke on why you and I exist and what our primary purpose is. And our primary purpose is to reflect God and His glory in all that we do. We're to have lives that simply point to the living God. They point to Jesus. So that when you're, guys, when you're loving your wife, you're pointing to Jesus who loves the bridegroom or the bride. Or when you're parenting your children with great love and care, you're reflecting God the Father. Or when you're relating to people with gentleness and compassion, you reflect the shepherd, Jesus. You and I exist for the glory of God. Isaiah 43:7 says, everyone who is called by my name and whom I've created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Everyone called by my name, whom I have created for me. Not for you. You weren't created for you. You were created for God. And the primary purpose of your life is that you point to this God and point to this glory. It's all about what He celebrates in heaven, that the church has been made a kingdom of priests. So that you don't have to go through any man to find salvation. Matter of fact, you're the priest that stands before God, ever living, well, maybe not ever living, but living in your time to reflect the ever living one who is beseeching and interceding for others. Priest of God who takes the hand of God and takes the hand of mine and brings it together. This great high priest Jesus through the blood, through the veil. And then all of a sudden he saves people from the Hani and makes them a kingdom of priests. Or the Turks and makes them priest of the living God. This is what makes the Great Commission so awesome, that God would say, I will use human instruments filled with the Spirit of God and equipped to give witness to me to the ends of the earth, at home, and any other place in between. And folks, if you're in Christ today, you have it. You have it. We exist for God, and if we exist for God, we exist for His glory. And if we exist for His glory, we exist for His character and who He is. Because Jesus says, God says, this is what my glory looks like. He said this to Moses. He said, my glory is this. It's the Lord. It's the Lord God. He's compassionate. So it's not that I practice compassion. I am compassionate. Compassionate. Gracious. I don't practice grace. I am gracious. Gracious. Full of loving kindness, which is God's mercy, God's grace, God's covenant love, God's favor. I practice that because that's who I am as a saint of God. Priest of the living God. With assignments galore for the glory of God. He made them a kingdom of priests so that we might, I'm just going to tell you, that we might be like the high priest, Jesus. As I talked about this last week, I'll tell you, I'll say it again. It's all on a matter of what you will believe about what God says about you. Because you have what it takes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that, number one, you're in Christ. The old things have passed away, all things have become new. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things become new. And all these things are of God, who gave to us a ministry of reconciliation, a word of reconciliation. So you're in Christ, a priest of God, in Christ, and all of a sudden God's entrusted to you the gospel. And it's called reconciliation. And then he says, not only that, but you're an ambassador of this kingdom. Not only do you have the word of reconciliation, not only do you have the ministry of reconciliation, you're an ambassador for Christ. And you speak for him in the kingdom. And what you speak is, we beg people by our lives to be reconciled to God. Whether it's to the Hani, whether it's to the Navajo, whether it's to the folks in inner city Dallas, whether it's Mission Erath that our youth do, whether it's in your community and home, saints of God, priests of God, with ministries of reconciliation. That's who you are. That's what you got. Are you living it today? Because when you live it, heaven celebrates. Heaven celebrates. Would you stand with me and bow with me in prayer? A couple of things. Number one, is there any portion of this message that God spoke to your heart about? Is there anything, one, two things that God said, yep, that's for me? Second, if there's one or two things that you say, yep, that's me, are you going to articulate that with somebody? Are you going to talk about that? Are you going to ask about that? Because, you know, the Bible says that sometimes when he's spreading the word, and the word hits our heart, and sometimes it hits a hard place, and by the time we're out of here, we forget the word because it's been stolen from the enemy. Don't let it be stolen from you. So is there a word, one, two words? And then second, will you articulate that? And the third thing is as you're articulating that, is there someone you need to get with to say, this is where I'm at, and this is where I believe God's sending me and doing? And we are available for that. We are available for that. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you rejoice in. I thank you for what you celebrate. We celebrate today our great God and his salvation. It's amazing to me that it's 144,000 people, whoever they are and whatever they are, as a future evangelist, Lord, where they were sealed, that heaven is worshiping and praising you because salvation belongs to you. And yet you would somehow put it in our feeble hands and our feeble mouths with our feeble feet to bring to the nations at home and every place in between. God, I pray that you'd be glorified with this word today in our hearts as we move from this place to be what you've called us to be. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.